You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kamala Harris, 36 days in, still no interviews, although the Harris campaign saying she will sit down for an interview before the end of the month. So be paying attention for that. That could be later this week, or that could be on the Sunday morning show coming up this weekend, which, of course, is Labor Day weekend. We'll get to the latest whistleblower bombshell revelations from July 13th, and then also the New York Times, very critical of Kamala Harris. And also, God forbid you like a post on social media of Donald Trump's, and you're a celebrity, because they will come out of the woodwork and try to shame you and cancel you. We'll give you that latest story coming up in just a little bit. But let's get to the news. We've got round number two at 7:07, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live, brought to you this morning by Budget Blinds. In the news this morning, a lot of police activity, busy police morning for sure on this Monday morning, August 26th at 68 degrees. One person in custody, according to Philadelphia police, following an armed carjacking that led police to pursue others this morning. Suspect arrested in the 5200 block of Lindbergh Boulevard. This is in southwest Philadelphia. Early this morning, carjackers stole a Mercedes from the 400 block of Snyder Ave in South Philadelphia. And Philadelphia police, as well as Pennsylvania State Troopers, chasing that vehicle. So they say the carjackers crashed into another car around 10th and Snyder before coming to a stop. Police, so that's how they got one of the guys, but they're still looking right now as I speak, still searching for the other two. That's going on. What a way to start your Monday morning for our Philadelphia police and the owner of that Mercedes, who, it, you know, it looks like, thank God, it was a carjacking, obviously, but that individual survived.
Yeah. The police never get a day off, do they, Dawn?
My goodness.
No.
We told you earlier, just updating you, that homicide investigators are now searching area surveillance type footage to try to solve the killing of an innocent bystander, a woman shot and killed in Philadelphia's Kensington section. She was trying to break up an argument yesterday that escalated into gunfire, and homicide detectives, as I say, working on that. And they originally did find that this murder was carried out, it was captured by city-owned surveillance footage. These two guys get into some kind of a verbal argument. A woman is trying to break that up, and she's the one who ends up being shot and killed in Philadelphia. A woman in her 30s. They are not releasing pending notification to her next of kin. They're not releasing her identity yet.
Oh boy.
Delaware County, 30 shots fired in deadly shooting in Chester. This happened at the intersection of Butler and Conrad Streets, happened over the weekend. Four people shot, one victim dying at the scene. Three others are still in the hospital, one of those young men in critical condition, the other two in stable but serious condition. And as usual, as I say, investigators not revealing a motive. So we don't have a motive. We don't have any further information. Delaware County, as 30 shots were fired amid this gunfight.
You know, if a Kennedy can endorse a Republican, can't we all just get along?
Right.
Can't we just put the guns away for a little bit? Can't the Middle East have peace? Can't cats and dogs live in harmony? I feel like Bill Murray here in Ghostbusters right now.
Who you gonna call? Well, we do have, it's the first day of school for many, many kids across the nation for sure, but for Philadelphia, 113,000 school children. Yes, summertime is over, headed back to school. So we know that Mayor Sherelle Parker the superintendent, Tony Watlington, and others. They'll be formally ringing in the school year at FS Edmonds in East Mount Airy. And she has a school-aged son in middle school, so for our mayor, so it's a real first for her as well, as she's back to school, back to fall, and she's back home after being she wasn't a speaker at the DNC, I'll point that out, as the first African-American mayor of a very old city in Philadelphia.
Missed opportunity for the Harris administration there not to get her on a platform?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
So obviously they were being political, and they put somebody like, our Senator Bob Casey, because he's up for re-election, but she would have received more attention and applause. And she's so dynamic.
Right.
You know what I mean? Why not have her speak?
Right.
Even if it's 1 minute.
Why not have her speak as opposed to Shapiro speaking twice?
Right.
Right. Because Shapiro did multiple nights. What did he do? Wednesday and Thursday, I think. Back-to-backs.
So why?
Yeah, it's fine by me.
I would have gone with a dynamic lady who's in an important city to get out the vote.
Yep.
By the way.
Agreed.
Ventnor, we're all talking about the Jersey Shore because we here at Kale & Company, many of us, have off Thursday, Friday, Monday. Big weekend down the shore, by the way, with Battle at the Beach, football. I know Thursday night's IMG, Friday my kid plays, so that's why I'm talking about it.
Okay, so you're out after Wednesday as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we head down, so we'll be at that IMG. I don't even know who I am. This is a sin. Who's IMG playing? Henry's going to know this.
I don't know.
Like a huge game. I should know this, but Thursday night.
IMG's a Florida high school, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, they're a factory.
They are. So one of my son's friends is amazing as a kicker. So he was down there but wanted to come back home. But it's an incredible story. If I still, like, I would love to do a documentary just on, like, what goes on at IMG.
Yeah, and just as long as it's not on a kicker, because nobody really cares about a kicker until they miss. That's when guys like Sean and I lose our minds. You have one single job and you can't make the kick. It's all you're paid to do, right?
Well, but here's the thing. It's a skill set.
It is.
It's a thing.
It definitely is.
It's like you're the, like, electrician or the plumber of the team, right? Because you're that guy. You go in and
you're
you get
it done. You're the lone wolf, really.
Yeah.
You're kind of like an independent contractor.
Yep.
You're like RFK to the Kennedy family.
Well said. But Battle of the Beach down the shore, a lot of people and high schools from across the country and across the region, and a point of pride. It's really a great time. But I will tell you, and this always freaks me out, when because the water's warm. I love to swim in the ocean, but did you hear, dun, 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 we had a guy whose hand was bitten.
Mm-hmm.
Ventnor City Beach Patrol saying that this guy was in the water. His hand appears to have been bitten by a shark.
Mm-hmm. You're
Nobody's
swimming amongst them.
Right?
Yep.
And the water's warm.
Yep.
Oh,
that was. Do we know if it was a great white? Was it a tiger shark? What kind of shark was it?
Tiger shark?
Do we need
no,
to get
I don't know.
Brody and Hooper out here?
Dun, dun, dun. He was taken to the hospital for treatment. He's expected to be okay. Beachgoers, though, are only allowed into the water up to their knees until the local leaders. This is Ventnor.
Okay.
So I don't know if all of the, lifeguards are going to say this up and down the Jersey Shore. I think this is just Ventnor, but they want it. Everybody's a little freaked out about this.
You should be.
So I know I'm freaked out.
It's their territory. Stay the hell out of it. Just like that lady at the zoo last week that wanted to go up and get a selfie of the tiger and almost lost her head. You go into their habitat, you're fair game.
All I'm saying is, if you go out, make sure, first of all, you're swimming in between the green flags, number one. Number two, make sure that you're not the furthest one out. So if there's like somebody, a bigger person, bigger than me,
mm-hmm.
and they're a little further out, I'm thinking the shark's going to go after them.
They should.
Right?
Yep. Yes.
I'm just teasing. But I do think about that sometimes. I just get
that's why I stay on. That's why I stay on a boat or I stay on land.
No, we love to swim in the ocean. It's just...
Yeah?
I
get my feet wet.
I love it.
I'm a baby.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a lake kind of a guy?
No, I mean, I do.
Pool?
I do. I like the lake. I'm good with... I like just cleaner water. I'm just not a huge Jersey Shore guy, as I've documented many times on the show. But no, I mean, I'll go
you
up to
be careful. You gotta be what? Careful down by Jersey too. You might not get bitten by a shark. It might be Chris Christie.
Well,
also,
I mean, yeah,
sloppy Chris Christie.
Right, exactly.
You know, it could be Uncle Brosie's cannibals too.
That's stop! That's a sin. Yeah. So funny. Budget blinds. What?
That's it. You never know.
You never know.
Dun, 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 dun. We are sponsored by Budget Blinds this morning. Summer's a great time to brighten up the window treatments in your home. Budget Blinds, your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com. You get a free in-home consultation, the only no-questions-asked warranty in the entire business. Greg Stocker and Mrs. Stephanie Stocker, they both vouch for Budget Blinds, that they're amazing. Their whole house is done in Budget Blinds. For our Phillies, first in the National League, we won our series against Kansas City. The Royals, 11-3 was the latest win. Today for the Phils, home, 87 degrees with a chance of some showers this afternoon. Tomorrow, 91. Wednesday, 95 degrees. So I do wonder if school will be truncated because we're back to school in Philadelphia and we don't have HVAC.
Yeah, no air conditioning for Philadelphia school children. So it's like the 70s.
Yeah, amen, brother. But Thursday, it looks like 85, so we have to get through Wednesday, the height of it. Great beach week so far. This is Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Big stretch for the Phillies as well. They got the Astros and then the Braves, two very good teams. So see how they do here as we get closer to September. All right, coming up next, July 13th, revelations, new whistleblower allegations. Why was additional resources denied? Why were the authorities told, do not ask for more help? Those details and our speculation on the other side. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Let's get into the latest whistleblower allegations that came across the desk of Josh Hawley on Friday. And we're now, I think, 6 weeks removed from that tragic day of July 13th where people lost their lives. And, you know, from about the third week after that event, I came to the conclusion and the belief that I thought this was an inside job. Some people have kind of walked up to that line but haven't said that publicly. I've said it for basically 50% of the time since the fallout of this occurred on July 13th. And more stuff comes across, and it just continues to reaffirm my belief that this was a setup, which I find it very interesting. We don't really hear anything from the parents. They've stopped getting information on the deceased shooter. Where are the parents, by the way? Are they in protective custody? Are they ever going to do an interview? Or are we just supposed to forget all about this? And I see this new information from Josh Hawley come out as new whistleblower testimony was obtained by the senator that reveals Secret Service headquarters directed agents on the ground at the rally to not request additional resources as they would be denied. And this continues to get fishier by the day. And I want to read you this, and I posted this, I retweeted Josh Hawley on Friday, and you can see the actual letter. And this is to the acting director, Mr. Rowe, who, as we know, is now in the place of Kimberly Cheadle, who resigned. And I just want to read the first paragraph and get your reaction to this. Josh Hawley writes, "Dear Acting Director Rowe, I have received new whistleblower allegations that, again, call into question your recent testimony before the Senate. One whistleblower with knowledge of Secret Service planning for former President Trump's trip to Butler, PA, alleges that officials at the Secret Service headquarters encouraged agents in charge of the trip not to request any additional security assets in its formal manpower request, effectively denying these assets through informal means. Yet you have repeatedly suggested that no security assets had been denied for the Butler event. You must explain this apparent contradiction immediately." You can read the rest of Hawley's letter to Rowe. But every time, whether it was Rowe or Cheadle, they tried to come out and say, no, no, we dotted all of our I's, we crossed all of our T's, nobody was denied anything, this was standard operating procedure, all the politically correct hogwash, yet we continue to get whistleblower after whistleblower, and this could be the same whistleblower repeatedly giving this information to Josh Hawley. But Dawn and Sean, I've always been inclined to believe a whistleblower, because I don't think there's really anything to gain for the whistleblower. They're not seeking fame. They're not seeking fortune. They're risking their career. They're risking potentially their own lives to share the information that the alphabet agencies and these corrupt agencies don't want the American public to know. So, Dawn, I'll start with you. I mean, when you get more and more of these little tidbits that come out, does this raise your spidey senses, or is this, in your opinion, still a rogue actor that somehow slipped through the cracks? I just refuse to believe, and I know the Secret Service is not as cracked up as what we're told to believe. I just continue to believe that something doesn't add up here and that this was planned.
I think that I am encouraged by the fact that even today, the group of bipartisan U.S. lawmakers on the task force they created earlier this month are going to be back in Butler, Pennsylvania, and that's happening today. So it's the second time. Remember, we talked about this before, and that's after the, I think it was right around the time that a whistleblower, that you referred to had been speaking out. But now House Speaker Mike Johnson, Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries announced the establishment of this task force, and they actually heading that is Republican Pennsylvania Senator Mike Kelly leads this task force. So they're back this morning, and I think it's significant. You know, you talked earlier, Nick, in your big take, and Sean, you referenced this as well, talking about that the DNC and Kamala Harris in the rearview mirror. So let's think about Monday. A lot of people are back to school this morning. And, you know, Nick, you talked this morning about your little girls going back to school. And so what happens when the kids are back to school? You automatically, you're going to turn on the morning TV. You're listening more. You're paying. You're driving the kids. You're in the car line, et cetera.
You're back in your routine.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And so think about on back to school Monday for, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of kids across the country. You have a couple of headlines, not just RFK Jr. joining on with Trump, Kemp and Georgia, that going on. Then you as well have these bipartisan groups of lawmakers, Democrats, Republicans, investigating back at the scene of the assassination. That forces the so-called mainstream media, does it not force them at some point to remind everybody, oh, yeah, there was an assassination attempt July 13th. Here's the task force. The final thing I'll say on this Monday, as we think about 2021 and Abbey Gate, Afghanistan, and the disastrous withdrawal that is today.
3 years.
As we think about the commemoration.
Yep, 8/26/21.
Yes.
You know, Sean, it's just frustrating to me because we saw that there was an arrest made at Trump's rally in North Carolina last Wednesday. Doesn't look like it's anything linked to an assassination attempt, but there was the threat of an assassination attempt for Trump when he was at the border. They apprehended this 66-year-old man that made these threats on social media. It feels like every single week, whether we hear it or if it's behind closed doors with these agencies, Trump's life is in danger. And part of the goal to win, he has to make it to November 5th and be alive. And I just tend to believe a lot of this that's coming across. It's way too suspicious for me to just be merely a bunch of people dropping the ball and a 20-year-old that can outsmart supposedly the brightest people in security and asset protection.
Yeah. And, you know, when it happened on July 13th and the conversation began, you know, after July 13th on how it could happen, the very first thing I started saying, and I, you know, a little jokingly, right? But like, I'm a Jets fan. I know what incompetence looks like. And that's not it, right? Because I've seen, and that is a joke, right? But we're not laughing about the assassination attempt. But the point of the matter is, you know, the going narrative was colossal failure. And unfortunately, what I'm led to believe is that the only failure that took place on July 13th is that Donald Trump walked off that stage with Secret Service around him alive, and he's still alive today. And that's not easy for anybody really probably to hear or to say. But when you look at the sequence of events on July 13th, and as you just mentioned, right, a 20-year-old outsmarted the Secret Service. Are we kidding? The other question, though, after in the wake of this whole thing is, you know, we're seeing, and I don't want anybody to like misinterpret this or kind of put this the wrong way. So no political violence, right? Number one, out in front of the whole thing, no political violence at all whatsoever. It's not appropriate, right? But we're seeing all of these comments, these folks who are making threats on social media and, you know, saying that they're going to make an attempt on Trump's life. We don't see this on the other side, and I don't want to see it. I keep saying I don't want to see that. But why is it only Trump that is being threatened? What is leading to that? That's what I'm asking, right? Why are so many people hell-bent on killing him? Why are so many people, why do so many people feel comfortable making those statements? Is it because of MSNBC and the Rachel Madcows of the world and the people on that network? Is it because of Jake Tapper and Dana Bash and the people over at CNN who completely and repeatedly compare Donald Trump to Hitler? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that why the way they talk about him? You know, they say Donald Trump is using language that is a dog whistle to white supremacy. It's the left that is using language that is a dog whistle to potential assassins to feel comfortable, not just making the attempt, but talking about it. They have created this environment, this toxic environment,
yep,
where people feel like they're allowed to say Donald Trump should die, right? Madonna, I want to blow up the White House. Lady Gaga, Johnny Depp. Oh, has an actor ever taken out a president? Yes, his name was John Wilkes Booth. There are so many people, right, that have made these comments. And when we say that's not appropriate, oh, calm down. It's just a joke. There's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. They shot him. I don't care what anybody. Oh, it was a piece of glass. Where'd the glass come from? If it was a piece of glass.
Right.
Okay, you genius. Oh, it's the teleprompter. Well, then how come the teleprompters are intact? They can't answer that question.
Well,
right?
To your point, they use this explosive rhetoric, and that's why. And they need Trump in the news cycle, because what else are they going to talk about, Sean? They can't pick apart his policies because his policies were successful, and Kamala Harris hasn't given her policies, and Biden's policies have been a failure. So they have nothing to champion on their own network. So they have to use that explosive rhetoric, and that leads to the crazies doing what they do on July 13th, right?
It's incredible. And you know what? I say this all the time. If there was no Donald Trump, what would like 90% of the leftists do? They'd have no purpose. They wake up and the first thing they do, I'm telling you, this is what goes on. Okay, is they go on Truth Social and they look at what Donald Trump is saying to get mad first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. I guarantee this is what they do.
Yep.
This is what they live for. This is their purpose. Their purpose is F Trump, right? Their purpose is Orange Man Bad. That is their religion. That is the cult. That is what drives them. That is what their entire life, guys, is focused around. It revolves around Donald Trump. These are the same people. Donald Trump thinks everybody revolves around him. You revolve around him. If you just take a second, right? You look at we mentioned them before, these idiots on X, the Krasensteins. What would they do if Donald Trump was not in politics? The answer is nothing. There is no purpose. I know what I would do if Kamala Harris wasn't in politics. I'd still be involved in the process because I don't wake up and hate another individual so much that is my reason for getting up and doing my day.
Yeah.
That is what the left does. Mm-hmm. They wake up and they hate Donald Trump so much that they use that as their fuel to keep going. They go, I'm going to put this meme up today. I'm going to call that person a Nazi. We're going to call that one an incel. We're going to call that one a white supremacist. And we're going to blame it all on Donald Trump. And that's why you saw what happened on July 13th. That's why you had that story down by the border, because hating Donald Trump is mainstream and it's allowed. You're not allowed to hate any other politician like that.
Right.
You're not allowed to say things about other politicians like that. You're not allowed to falsely label other politicians rapists. Donald Trump has not been convicted of rape. I don't care. It's been adjudicated sex offender and he's a shush. You're making up things now. You're making up terms now. You're, whether they like it or not, and it's so much fun to say this, if you're a liberal, right, and you don't like, your life basically revolves around Donald Trump. You are his biggest fan. You give him more attention than I give him. I sound like him. Nobody does a better job. We understand that. Nobody, I have to say this, nobody does a better job. You could look at it. You could listen to it. Nobody does a better job. I don't even mention him 100 times a day like the DNC did last week. 100. They did 400 times over 4 nights. 100 times a day.
Right.
I sound like the dude. Okay, I make content that revolves around him, not all the time, but a lot of the times. It's a thing I do. I don't even think about him that much. It's just insane. Like, actually insane.
I know.
That's all I've got.
I've told my mother-in-law that. I said, I do this for a living, and 40% of my daily content revolves around Trump, and you think about him more, and you're just on Facebook looking for what he posted you know, this platform or that platform. We got to get to this, Dawn. This is great, because we talked a lot about Harrison Butker and the backlash that he faced. Yeah, it's amazing. The Kansas City Chiefs are a very political NFL franchise, right? Harrison Butker, who didn't really say anything political, didn't say anything controversial at that Catholic commencement speech about women dreaming of growing up and creating the traditional family and being a wife and a mom. And what happened? The Andy Reid and the Chiefs, they gave him the biggest contract in kicker history and said, suck it, left wingers. We're not canceling this guy. Travis Kelce dates Taylor Swift. Travis Kelce endorses Bud Light and Pfizer. Nobody has a problem with that. And then on Friday, I thought this was great. And this is to your point, Sean, about how the left goes after you if you share an opinion that they don't, but you know, view as viable. So on Trump's Instagram account, he's got his 20-point GOP platform for 2024. It's something we've gone through, we've talked about, to kind of compare and contrast what really is on his platform and agenda versus what's on Project 2025 and how the mainstream media is saying that Project 2025 is a Trump thing. So Brittany Mahomes, the wife of the legendary quarterback Patrick Mahomes, liked the Instagram post of Trump's 20-point bullet platform for 2024, and she got unloaded on by everybody in the mentions, to the point where she had to come out and say, I mean, honestly, to be a hater as an adult, you have to have some deep-rooted issues that you refuse to heal from childhood. There's no reason your brain is fully developed and you hate to see others doing well. My guess is she got either death threats or a bunch of, curse words thrown her way, all because she liked Trump's platform post. I don't even know if she's a Republican. I don't know if she's a Trump voter. Shouldn't matter. The fact that people lose their mind over things like that on social media is ridiculous. Yet, but you know, they're the same ones. Because I remember in the fall, in the football season, I blasted Travis Kelce for being a Pfizer pimp with the Pfizer commercial. And my mentions exploded. Like, I had over 1 million views on this tweet. And I literally had to mute the mentions because I was tired of hearing people just blow up my mentions. Because some of the mentions I do want to read on posts that matter. But when I get a bunch of crap from people, I just mute the mentions so I don't have to see them. But this is ridiculous, Dawn. Like, we're living in a world where Brittany... And again, I think Brittany Mahomes is kind of an annoying pain in the butt. Like, she's always constantly chirping on social media. Patrick Mahomes should probably shut her down, especially during the season. People will rip me for that. Dawn, you can rip me if you'd like as well. But like, she's going to get criticized for liking a post of Donald Trump's. Newsflash for you, people. There are women out there that actually like Donald Trump. As hard as that is to believe for some of you that live in a bubble, there's a lot of females that are going to vote for Trump, regardless of Roe v. Wade, and regardless, Sean, what you just talked about with the civil procedure with E. Jean Carroll. Trump does have a female base. It might not be massive. It could be what costs him in the election. But, Dawn, there are females, you included, that like Donald Trump. And it shouldn't be a sin because you like this post.
Yeah, and why is it that women, it's ironic, isn't it, in the quote-unquote pro-choice movement. You have pro-choice if you want to have an abortion or not, but you don't have pro-choice or diversity when it comes to thought if you are a conservative woman.
No. That's correct.
And, you know, as far as, Butker goes, the fact that he, you know, he was calling on J.D. Vance to his fellow Catholic, I thought that, you know, was all part of the swirl of this, that Butker was putting out there saying to J.D. Vance, I implore my fellow Catholic J.D. Vance to help bring the Republican Party back in line with the foundational platform of, you know, life, that all life is valuable and there can be no compromise when it comes to defending the unborn. And so, I mean, you think about the world of football kind of blowing up people's minds, like you're talking about.
It's
they can't handle it.
No. And Sean, we got about 60 seconds. I want to get your thoughts because, I mean, you're a Jets guy. Aaron Rodgers is an RFK Jr. guy. RFK, yeah. And Rodgers took a lot of flack a few years ago for saying he was immunized as opposed to getting the vaccine. It's amazing. They just expect every celebrity or pro athlete or their wives to be in lockstep with Democrats. And when that doesn't happen, they flip out like little 9-year-olds on social media.
And they're looking for it. This tells you that, you know, she hit the like button. It's not even like she commented. That means somebody went into who liked the tweet and scrolled it to find Brittany Mahomes. How obsessed do you have to be with what other people think? Just go about your day. This is, we hear about diversity, equity, inclusion. We hear about, you know, everybody has the right to make their own decisions, unless it's a decision they disagree with. And then they lose their, you know what about it. It's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then to come out and say that, well, you wear a red hat with four words on it. Well, you're MAGA hats. You guys are cultists. I don't stalk people's social medias to find out if they like my political opponents and then blow a gasket. I've been saying this forever. I don't care what Taylor Swift does. I think we give her too much power. She wants to bake Biden-Harris cookies? Have a field day. I don't care. She's her own person. I'm my own person. I'm not like them. We don't have to stalk people's social medias and go, well, Brittany Mahomes says she liked the post, so she must be a white supremacist. This is so stupid and pointless and counterproductive. I don't see why they can't just go get a job or a second job or a third job or just go to take a nap, you know, like just put your phone away, go touch some grass, mm-hmm. you know, pet a dog. Yep. I don't know anything but what you're doing. It's obsessive and dumb.
Yes. That's why I take a nap. That's why I play golf. And that's why I drink. So I'm not on social media all day staring at everybody's political views. By the way, during the break, I'm going to see if Jalen Hurts' girlfriend has liked any posts for Kamala Harris. And so I can lose my mind next segment. Just kidding. All right. Cut sheets on the other side. But first, Dawn Stensland has a word for you.
Yeah, because it's still August, even though a lot of the kids are back to school this upcoming weekend. Maybe it's your final August road trip for the season. Do you know if your vehicle's road trip ready, though? My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles are going to help you make sure that you and your family are safe out on the roads. These service centers of the Piazza Premium dealers not only handle all your regular maintenance needs, but also diagnose possible issues before they happen. That's critical, right? Just schedule a service appointment online today. Visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com for that dealer nearest you, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware. I'll be at a Piazza Premium Automobile dealer in Westchester. I believe that's tomorrow. Really excited to test drive some of the vehicles. But you got to do this and make sure that you are road trip ready. PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Let's get to what we like to call What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo, where they have amazingly competitive pricing, plus an additional $1,000 discount on all new Volvos. Cherry Hill Volvo is where relationships really do matter. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team are looking forward to meeting you.
All right, we have tons of audio to get to. Plenty of Bobby Kennedy, plenty of Donald Trump from Friday, and also the way the media is reacting, what the polls are showing. J.D. Vance on the cut sheet today, as well as he was doing some of the Sunday shows yesterday, I believe that was with Kristen Welker of NBC. But let's start. We just had this conversation to wrap up the 7 o'clock hour before we got to the cut sheet about social media having a meltdown over what the wife of a quarterback liked on social media. I want to play you this. This is clip number one, boys, right at the top of the sheet. Pablo Torre is a talking head, or used to be a talking head, on ESPN. But he went on Morning Joe on MSNBC and actually tried to say that the Democrat Party is the party of football. I want you to listen and watch this. Clip number one. Go ahead, boys.
I tell you what, the Democratic Party, really, the sports analogies and everything else really came tumbling out. They seem to be the party of the NFL now.
It's the party of football.
Yeah.
Joe, I don't know if people appreciate it.
What?
Mika, this is something that I did not think was possible.
I didn't see it coming.
I come from the world of sports.
You do.
In my lifetime, I have not ever considered that the Democratic Party would be the party that has the most plausible claim to the largest organism in a culture war,
right?
Which is football. Again, for people who aren't familiar, Professor,
the multimedia 2023
of the 100 of the 100 most watched television shows, 93 of them were NFL games.
Right.
Three more on that list, college football games.
Okay, so I'm not sure how he arrives at the conclusion that football or the Democrat Party is the party of football. I would argue that when you look at all the sports, football, baseball, hockey for sure, there's a lot of conservatives, there's a lot of Republicans that play the sport, coach the sport, broadcast the sport. Now, if you want to argue the NBA is the party of Democrats, I'm on board with that. I think there's a lot of liberals in the National Basketball Association. But I don't even understand what's the point of even saying that. Like, because Tim Walz was an assistant football coach, I don't understand that. Sean Farish, your thoughts, because you're a Jets fan and you come from a state that is certainly a blue state.
Well, first of all, let's go into an NFL locker room, okay? Democrats, and let's talk about toxic masculinity, shall we?
Ooh,
okay? I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Why don't we walk in? Why don't we talk to JJ Watt about why him celebrating sacking the quarterback is toxic masculinity? Why don't we talk about all these guys who are in these rigorous workout routines and are doing these grueling activities day in and day out? Why don't we talk about toxic masculinity? How about men in women's sports? Let's do that in the NFL too. Let's talk about all those policies, right? The NFL as an organization has definitely leaned left, but that does not make the Democrat Party the party of football. The whole everything they stand for, you do that in an NFL locker room and you're going to get mocked. That's the point. You start talking about equity and everybody has to go, you know, everybody winds up in the same place. What is every game supposed to end in a tie? I mean, are we serious with this? It is a competition. It is a sport. Merit is rewarded in that game, in that sport. And by the way, in all sports, it's rewarded, except maybe in soccer, which I call foot fairies, which, by the way, I will say this. You look at the wussification of the United Kingdom. It starts with the game they play on that on the pitch, they call it, right, where you got these people flopping around like they've been shot.
Yes.
You know what? Donald Trump. No. Listen to this. Donald Trump was actually shot and he didn't even flop as much as some of these idiots on the soccer pitch. Okay. So I don't even want to hear it now. That's going to get me in trouble. People are going to be like,
the soccer fan in the audience is living right now with you.
You want to talk about a cult? Whenever I talk about soccer and I'm like, it's a stupid sport. It's the most popular sport worldwide. Well, then we live in a stupid world. Okay. Because I'll tell you that. Look, that's just my beef with the game. I hate it. Mm-hmm. You know what it is? Insomnia. If I have to, so like, take magnesium, take melatonin, or just watch the English Premier League. Uh-huh. You'll fall asleep quickly. No. If you go in an NFL locker room and you start preaching the messaging that comes out of the Democrat Party, look, watch what happens to you. Mm-hmm. You will not be thinking the Democrats are the party of football.
Yeah.
The NFL absolutely leaned left. They went woke with the BLM and the kneeling and all the. But the party of football, the Democrat Party, I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, and Dawn, your boys play football, and your boys are not raised in a liberal household. I mean, you look at all the owners in the NFL, most of them are conservative. And honestly, I think if you polled every single player anonymously, are you Democrat or Republican, it would be much closer than Pablo Torre's leading people to believe on Morning Joe.
It's so true.
Right?
Yeah, first of all, somebody who says that football is like the Democrats or has gone Democrat doesn't know football.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because that's just not true.
Yep.
Number one. Number two, I don't know. There's just so much hate on that show on Morning Mika. I'm going to just start calling it Morning Mika. because Joe used to, I just have to remind you, used to be that Republican Congress member from North Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And has forgotten who I guess he was,
right.
Sold out, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that show, they should have a sign that says, hate is always home here.
Right.
They're just the hater show.
It's such an angry show.
Yeah.
And they just spew the left-wing talking points. It's like they get the email and they just regurgitate it. Thank God I'm on the air and I don't have to watch that. Even if I was off the air, I wouldn't watch that. So that's a good thing. But let's get to the fallout. You know, I said earlier, Trump and Bobby on Friday, they wiped Kamala right off the front page, right? Off the newspapers, off the television stations, off of websites. I mean, think about it. In a 24-hour stretch, she gave an uninspiring speech with no policy. They led the media on to believe there was this big guest. Is it Beyonce? Is it George W. Bush? Is it Taylor Swift? It was all a lie just to get you to stay tuned in for Kamala up until they went off the air. And less than 24 hours later, Trump steals the football and runs the other way for a touchdown with Bobby Kennedy high-stepping into the end zone. And the New York Times on Friday wrote that joy is not a strategy. We'll get into that. But first, Jon Stewart, of all places, a little montage. This is clip three, boys, where even on the Jon Stewart Daily Show, they are mocking how everybody was uttering the same word over and over at the DNC. It was joy. Here is clip number three.
But really, it's best not to think about the consequences of our actions over there, especially given the theme of the week.
I can feel the excitement in this arena. It's filled with energy and with joy.
The air of joy.
Joy. Joy. Joy.
We will be joyful warriors.
The president of joy.
Let us choose joy.
For a convention.
You know, Dawn, it's so nauseating to see that. Yeah, for those not watching, there was Bill Clinton, there was Oprah, there was Cory Booker, there was Hakeem Jeffries. I don't know if that was Jessica Tarlov in the beginning, but somebody that looked like Jessica Tarlov. And, you know, I think the New York Times, and they took a shot here at Kamala by saying joy and hope and change. That's not a strategy. And there's two things that I take away from when I read that column. Number one, they really did try to paint it last week as if we're living in a Trump administration. Like, no, this is the Biden-Harris administration. You've had 3 years and 10 months to give us change. You've had 12 of the last 16 years of Democrat control at the White House to give us change. And yes, joy is not a strategy. Hope is not a strategy. And this is not to trigger anybody that's religious, because I'm religious as well. Hope, faith, all of that stuff is great. It uplifts you. It motivates you. But at the end of the day, you need something substantive. I'll say that one more time. Substantive to create change. Just walking around with a smile on your face doesn't fix broken policies, doesn't fix an economy, doesn't fix a border. I'm sorry. Joy's a part of the equation, but it can't be your whole platform. And it's just pathetic that that's what they're running on right now. For four straight days, Dawn, all they tried to do was say, we're the happy party.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you. I'm not happy that I'm broke right now. Okay? And I want change, damn it.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's really insensitive. I know that they're trying to make, they're trying to just make everybody think that Kamala Harris is somebody new. She hasn't been the VP in office. And they're trying to, I think they're trying to recreate the Obama or an Obama-esque type campaign where President, you know, Obama, when he was a candidate, he was young, he was a fresh face, and it was all about hope and change. But the thing is, he really was a newcomer. He hadn't been in office at that point for 4 years or nearly 4 years.
Yeah, and it, you know, Sean, this is interesting because you say orange man bad. What they're trying to do is compare and contrast. They're saying Kamala is the let's put a smile on everybody faces candidate, and Trump is the mean tweets, always ranting and raving president, which is real. Let's get to what we like to call what's on the cut sheet.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo, where they have amazingly competitive pricing plus an additional $1,000 discount on all new Volvos. Cherry Hill Volvo is where relationships really do matter. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team are looking forward to meeting you.
All right, we have tons of audio to get to. plenty of Bobby Kennedy, plenty of Donald Trump from Friday, and also the way the media is reacting, what the polls are showing. J.D. Vance on the cut sheet today, as well as he was doing some of the Sunday shows yesterday, I believe that was with Kristen Welker of NBC. But let's start. We just had this conversation to wrap up the 7 o'clock hour before we got to the cut sheet about social media having a meltdown over what the wife of a quarterback liked on social media. I want to play you this. This is clip number one, boys, right at the top of the sheet. Pablo Torre is a talking head, or used to be a talking head, on ESPN. But he went on Morning Joe on MSNBC and actually tried to say that the Democrat Party is the party of football. I want you to listen and watch this. Clip number one. Go ahead, boys.
I tell you what, the Democratic Party, really, the sports analogies and everything else really came tumbling out. They seem to be the party of the NFL now.
It's the party of football.
Yeah.
Joe, I don't know if people appreciate.
What?
Mika, this is something that I did not think was possible.
I didn't see it coming.
I come from the world of sports.
You do.
In my lifetime, I have not ever considered that the Democratic Party would be the party that has the most plausible claim to the largest organism in a culture war,
right?
Which is football. Again, for people who aren't familiar, Preview. Professor,
the multimedia 2023 professor.
Of the 100 of the 100 most watched television shows, 93 of them were NFL games,
right?
Three more on that list, college football games.
Okay, so I'm not sure how he arrives at the conclusion that football or the Democrat Party is the party of football. I would argue that when you look at all the sports, football, baseball, hockey for sure, there's a lot of conservatives, there's a lot of Republicans that play the sport, coach the sport, broadcast the sport. Now, if you want to argue the NBA is the party of Democrats, I'm on board with that. I think there's a lot of liberals in the National Basketball Association. But I don't even understand what's the point of even saying that. Like, because Tim Walz was an assistant football coach, I don't understand that. Sean Farish, your thoughts, because you're a Jets fan and you come from a state that is certainly a blue state.
Well, first of all, let's go into an NFL locker room, okay? Democrats, and let's talk about toxic masculinity, shall we?
Ooh,
okay? I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Why don't we walk in? Why don't we talk to J.J. Watt about why him celebrating sacking the quarterback is toxic masculinity? Why don't we talk about all these guys who are in these rigorous workout routines and are doing these grueling activities day in and day out? Why don't we talk about toxic masculinity? How about men in women's sports? Let's do that in the NFL too. Let's talk about all those policies, right? The NFL as an organization has definitely leaned left, but that does not make the Democrat Party the party of football. The whole everything they stand for, you do that in an NFL locker room and you're going to get mocked. That's the point. You start talking about equity and everybody has to go, you know, everybody winds up in the same place. What is every game supposed to end in a tie? I mean, are we serious with this? It is a competition. It is a sport. Merit is rewarded in that game, in that sport. And by the way, in all sports, it's rewarded, except maybe in soccer, which I call foot fairies, which, by the way, I will say this. You look at the wussification of the United Kingdom. It starts with the game they play on that on the pitch, they call it, right, where you got these people flopping around like they've been shot.
Yes.
You know what? Donald Trump. No. Listen to this. Donald Trump was actually shot and he didn't even flop as much as some of these idiots on the soccer pitch. OK, so I don't even want to hear it now. That's going to get me in trouble. People are going to be like,
the soccer fan in the audience is living right now with you.
You want to talk about a cult? Whenever I talk about soccer and I'm like, it's a stupid sport. Oh, it's the most popular sport worldwide. Well, then we live in a stupid world. OK, because I'll tell you that. Look, that's just my beef with the game. I hate it. Mm-hmm. You know what it is? Insomnia. If I have to, they're like, take magnesium, take melatonin, or just watch the English Premier League.
Uh-huh.
You'll fall asleep quickly. No. If you go in an NFL locker room and you start preaching the messaging that comes out of the Democrat Party, look, watch what happens to you. Mm-hmm. You will not be thinking the Democrats are the party of football.
Yeah.
The NFL absolutely leaned left. They went woke with the BLM and the kneeling and all the But the party of football, the Democrat Party, I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, and Dawn, your boys play football, and your boys are not raised in a liberal household. I mean, you look at all the owners in the NFL, most of them are conservative. And honestly, I think if you polled every single player anonymously, are you Democrat or Republican, it would be much closer than Pablo Torre's leading people to believe on Morning Joe.
It's so true.
Right?
Yeah, these, first of all, somebody who says that that football is like the Democrats or has gone Democrat doesn't know football.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because that's just not true.
Yep.
Number one. Number two, I don't know. There's just so much hate on that show on Morning Mika. I'm going to just start calling it Morning Mika. because Joe used to, I just have to remind you, used to be that Republican Congress member from North Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And has forgotten who I guess he was,
right.
Sold out, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that show, they should have a sign that says, hate is always home here.
Right.
They're just the hater show.
It's such an angry show.
Yeah.
And they just spew the left-wing talking points. It's like they get the email and they just regurgitate it. Thank God I'm on the air and I don't have to watch that. Even if I was off the air, I wouldn't watch that. So that's a good thing. But let's get to the fallout. You know, I said earlier, Trump and Bobby on Friday, they wiped Kamala right off the front page, right? Off the newspapers, off the television stations, off of websites. I mean, think about it. In a 24-hour stretch, she gave an uninspiring speech with no policy. They led the media on to believe there was this big guest. Is it Beyonce? Is it George W. Bush? Is it Taylor Swift? It was all a lie just to get you to stay tuned in for Kamala up until they went off the air. And less than 24 hours later, Trump steals the football and runs the other way for a touchdown with Bobby Kennedy high-stepping into the end zone. And the New York Times on Friday wrote that joy is not a strategy. We'll get into that. But first, John Stewart, of all places, a little montage. This is clip three, boys, where even on the John Stewart Daily Show, they are mocking how everybody was uttering the same word over and over at the DNC. It was joy. Here is clip number three.
But really, it's best not to think about the consequences of our actions over there, especially given the theme of the week.
I can feel the excitement in this arena. It's filled with energy and with joy.
The air of joy.
Joy. Joy. Joy.
We will be joyful warriors.
The president of joy.
Let us choose joy.
Yes. Yes, yes. Oh, it was joyful. For a convention.
You know, Dawn, it's so nauseating to see that. Yeah, for those not watching, there was Bill Clinton, there was Oprah, there was Cory Booker, there was Hakeem Jeffries. I don't know if that was Jessica Tarlov in the beginning, but somebody that looked like Jessica Tarlov. And, you know, I think the New York Times, and they took a shot here at Kamala by saying joy and hope and change. That's not a strategy. And there's two things that I take away from when I read that column. Number one, they really did try to paint it last week as if we're living in a Trump administration. Like, no, this is the Biden-Harris administration. You've had 3 years and 10 months to give us change. You've had 12 of the last 16 years of Democrat control at the White House to give us change. And yes, joy is not a strategy. Hope is not a strategy. And this is not to trigger anybody that's religious, because I'm religious as well. Hope, faith, all of that stuff is great. It uplifts you. It motivates you. But at the end of the day, you need something substantive. I'll say that one more time. Substantive to create change. Just walking around with a smile on your face doesn't fix broken policies, doesn't fix an economy, doesn't fix a border. I'm sorry. Joy's a part of the equation, but it can't be your whole platform. And it's just pathetic that that's what they're running on right now. For four straight days, Dawn, all they tried to do was say, we're the happy party.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you. I'm not happy that I'm broke right now. Okay? And I want change, damn it.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's really insensitive. I know that they're trying to make, I guess they're trying to just make everybody think that Kamala Harris is somebody new. She hasn't been the VP in office. And they're trying to, I think they're trying to recreate the Obama or an Obama-esque type campaign where President, you know, Obama, when he was a candidate, he was young, he was a fresh face, and it was all about hope and change. But the thing is, he really was a newcomer. He hadn't been in office at that point for 4 years, or nearly 4 years.
Yeah, and, it, you know, Sean, this is interesting because you say orange man bad. What they're trying to do is compare and contrast. They're saying Kamala is the let's put a smile on everybody's faces candidate, and Trump is the mean tweets, always ranting and raving president, which is really remarkable. If Kamala Harris was such a joy to be around, would she have a 93% turnover rate with her staff? Probably not.
You know, and here's the thing, right? There is a saying, like, the best businesses are always hiring. So there is turnover because you're always trying to upgrade at every position. But 93%, no. And the fact that she's been historically unpopular for 3.5 years until, 35 days ago. And now is that we love her. Again, Van Jones said it best. She went from cringe to cool in 24 hours. That is not normal. Okay, that's not how normal people behave. That's not we can't just flip a switch and go, oh, I love this woman now, even though I hated her yesterday because the media told me she's joyful. All right. And that every time she cackles, it's not that she's awkward and weird. It's that she's happy. Look, if you really are a joyous, happy, bubbly, you know, people gravitate towards you personality, you wouldn't have to stage buying a bag of chips in a gas station, okay? You wouldn't have to do it twice. Dougie, look, you got my Doritos. Then you have, you know, horse face. No, that's the wrong guy. But Tim Walz over the top because he did something with a horse. I don't know what that's about, but something happened. All right? Secretariat, whistleblower is going to come out and say this guy. But, you know, you don't have to stage a woman buying chips. When Donald Trump walks into a Cuban cafe, they sing him happy birthday. That wasn't staged. Nope. He walks into a McDonald's or a Waffle House or a pizza place and starts buying pizzas, handing them out to the firefighters. That's not staged. Why? He's a normal guy. He's a normal person. But Kamala Harris can't walk into a gas station and buy Doritos without a script. This is not joy. This is them trying to say, yeah, you know that cackling problem she has? We're rebranding that as a good thing. Yeah, and this is why she's hiding from the press. When you are proud of something, Nick, you're a parent, right? Your kid comes home from school with a good grade. You don't hide it. You put it on the fridge.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yes.
You know, you get the bumper sticker. I am the parent of an honor roll student. We've all seen them, right? You buy a new car, you buy a house, you show it to people. If you're not proud of something, you hide it. You got a bad tattoo?
Yep.
You don't let people see that arm.
No.
You know, you always wear the long sleeves, right?
Uh-huh.
You hide things you're not proud of. So they're hiding her. They're not proud of her. And they're trying to say, well, it's because she's so joyful. If she's so joyful, let the people see her.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
You can't just run on, well, I'm smiling, so vote for me.
Yeah.
No,
you're,
stop.
You're absolutely right. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about when I was living with my parents before they got divorced. My parents got divorced when I was about 10. And I remember my mom's brother, my Uncle Tim, he was always kind of like the cool, uncle, right? Like, and my mom was very strict, by the book, fun to be around. But my Uncle Tim was full of joy. And he was like, you know, what I think they're trying to do is they're trying to paint Kamala not only in opposition to Trump, but also the polar opposite to Joe, right? Because Joe was old and stodgy and incoherent, but he would ramble, he would yell, he would shout and get enraged. You know, we'd have those moments where he would raise his voice. So it's almost like, hey, you want to get away from mom and dad, and you have that aunt or uncle that's really cool and upbeat, and they'll let you buy things, and you take them to, you could leave, you could wear, you throw your shoes as soon as you walk in the house on the, you know, and just, you know, it's basically, they want to make her look like the cool family member, except every metric we've ever seen up until her installment showed that she doesn't resonate with Americans, right? Like, they want you to think she's Oprah or Michelle Obama. She's not even close to those two. And no. I'm just talking pure personality wise, right? Like Michelle Obama, it's like she just dropped down from the heavens. And we've seen these ridiculous odds over the years. Will Oprah run for president? Well, she's a 250-1 long shot. They wish the narrative existed with her like it does with these other women. It just doesn't, though. All right. Let me get to Carville here. This is great. And I think if you're a Trump supporter, you're going to like this one. Clip number four, boys. James Carville was on with Bill Maher on Friday night. I think he had a round table of Carville. I think Caitlin Collins was on it as well. But from a polling standpoint, this is very good news for Trump. And this is not factored in with RFK Jr. yet. I don't think any polls are factored in yet with Bobby. As soon as they come out, we will get to those. But clip number four on how Trump typically does well later in the calendar and why August is for Democrats. Clip four, here's Carville.
James, how much faith are you putting in polls that show Harris is ahead in key states and nationwide?
So let me say this. August is a great Democratic month. We hell on wheels come August. Okay, you remember what George Sandrin said about Dave Winfield? He called him Mr. May. The idea is to be good in November. And I tell Democrats some caution here. First of all, most quants say we have to win by three in the popular vote to win the Electoral College. So when you see a poll that says we're two up, well, that's actually you're one down if the poll is correct.
Yeah, you'd lose.
The other thing is Trump traditionally, when he's on the ballot, chronically underpolls. All right? And if, so they came back late in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania in 2020, and it showed Biden winning these states 7-8
under
points.
Under polls, meaning Trump's going to do better than the polling shows?
I'm saying because traditionally, he underpolls. Mm-hmm. Traditionally.
Means he's going to do better in the election because people are too ashamed to tell a pollster they're going to vote
saying,
for.
I don't know, right. But I'm just saying traditionally, with Trump on the ballot, just telling the Democrats, they said, oh, James and Debbie Downer, oh, what's he talking about? Well, I'm not just telling you, you got to win by three.
So I think Carville makes a really good point. And if you look at the numbers where Trump has been historically in August, the last two elections, and Dawn, you lived this when you were doing, you know, the show with Rich in 16 and 20. He was down, what, 7-8 points with Hillary. He was down 7 or 8 points in 2020 in the pandemic year with Biden. And even if he's down 1.5 to Harris, he is in much better shape. And this is a guy who in 16 got 62 million votes. In 20, he got 74 million votes. He went up 12 million more votes. And I've said this from day one. I think he's going to eclipse more than 74 million votes this time around as well, especially after 4 years of poor Democrats in office. So from a polling standpoint, you got to feel good where Trump is at. And that's before Bobby Dawn.
Yeah, I think the one thing I will say, I'll never forget this. It was the day before the election. Zioli was like a dad, you know, in the hospital ward, you know, when your wife is pregnant and you're all worried. He was just wringing his hands. He was so nervous. I said to him, you're like a father in the maternity ward out in the waiting room or with your wife, whatever. Like you're just panicked here.
Anxiety's out of control, right?
He was.
Yeah.
And we're walking through Old City and all of the Hillary supporters. It was a free Springsteen concert that was being set up. And I said to him, look around here and think about the contrast to what we see when there's a Trump rally. First of all, the people who were here in Philadelphia were not Philadelphia. I live in the city of Philadelphia. They were like bussing people in from wherever. They were white suburbanite milquetoast people standing around, looking at their watch, looking at their phone. They were not excited. They were not fired up. So they were either bussed in by the Democrats and or they were here to see Springsteen at a free concert. They were not excited about Hillary. And that really convinced me just that night. And I said, Trump's going to win. He's got this.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is then for 20 moving forward, see, Trump had a surprise win. Nobody expected him to win.
Yeah.
The problem that I worry about even now is what about the issue of election integrity?
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're ready for him, mm-hmm. and they know that he underpolls.
Yep.
And so what are they going to poll next?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Sean, interesting thoughts from Carville. He's been doing it for a long time. He knows the way the polling works. So you got to feel good. And I got to imagine that once these polls come out with RFK factored in, I think you're going to see Trump's small deficits become coin flips. His coin flips become small advantages. His small advantages become outside of the margin of error advantages. Would you agree?
I do. I don't know if the polling is ever going to shift that far, just because there's an agenda, I think, that's being pushed with the polling. And I like polling. I like to dive into the crosstabs. I geek out over some of the minute data and details in the polls. You know, it's interesting when you say like they're oversampling Democrats, but then you go even further. Are they polling male Democrats? Are they polling female Democrats? Are they polling urban Democrats or rural Democrats? Because those types of Dems, they all vote differently, right? So the polling, there's an agenda. There's a reason why, you know, the immediately after Harris was named the nominee, new polls came out. Were, oh, look at all this enthusiasm, even though she hadn't even hit the road yet, gotten on the campaign trail. You know, they're manufacturing an entire storyline here.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have Carville basically saying that, yeah, every time Donald Trump is on the ballot, he out polls, you know, the numbers that they show him. You know, it does feel good because it was Carville back before Biden's debate, you know, disaster. But for a few months, you know, basically kind of spelling doom and gloom, like, hey, we don't really got this. I know we don't like Trump, but there's a lot of people who do. And, you know, there's the silent Trump voter. And again, you know, when it comes to the RFK effect, it's not just the 5% of people that you know, answered polls that said they were voting for him. It's the folks outside. It's the ripple effect of a Kennedy, the perception, the optics of a Kennedy endorsing a Republican. It's the fact that if there are more disaffected, disenfranchised Democrats that come out and support Donald Trump that don't answer polls, or maybe they're low propensity voters, but they understand that the stakes of this race, that are going to come out and vote for Trump with 15 clothespins on their nose in a hazmat suit, but they're going to do it anyway because they don't want to become a communist country. You know, those people aren't going to be picked up by pollsters, but they're going to vote. We hope. And it's our job to either reach them or reach the people who can reach them. And I think Carville kind of feels that. I think he kind of understands that. And I think that, again, as we said, I think it was in the first hour, that's the missing element of the RFK effect that everybody is going to miss. But the grassroots, if you've worked down, you know, you guys deal with Trump Force 47 over in Pennsylvania. There's a lot of good stuff going on down there.
Yeah, Don lives there.
Yeah.
You Don's know, got I mean, a bedroom there.
When you have these conversations with people at the grassroots level, you will get a much better feel for how this race is shaping out than just looking into polling. So I think, you know, you should feel good, but not comfortable. You mm-hmm. know, campaign right. like you're 10 yeah. points down, but you should feel good.
All right, let's get to RFK and hear a little bit from Bobby. This is clip 10, boys, where RFK says it's not just enough to do the endorsement. He's going to be actively campaigning with and for Donald Trump. Take a listen. Clip number 10, RFK, on what he plans to do in the next 70 days or so.
Campaigning actively, I think President Trump is going to make a series of announcements about other Democrats who are joining his campaign. And, you know, I want to make America healthy again, and so does President Trump. So those are objectives. The Wall Street Journal may be worried about shareholder value for pharmaceutical companies. And I think, you know, I talked specifically to President Trump about that issue. And he said that he wanted to leave as his legacy healthy children, and that, you know, that that he was unconcerned about the other implications.
So that was RFK on yesterday's Shannon Bream show Sunday on Fox News. It just seems to me, and Sean, I'll start with you, that if you're looking for a role for Kennedy, I think we talked a little bit about this on Thursday and Friday's show. I think I even asked you, you know, where you would slot him in. You know, CIA stuff would be interesting, probably a pipe dream. But something with big pharma, something with the environment. You've heard him say, MAHA, make America healthy again. I do think it's going to be in that sector. And I'm glad that he's going to be on the campaign trail, because we know Americans have short attention spans. And we also know that the mainstream media will move on from a story like they did with Trump on July 13th. Kennedy being in the spotlight with Trump will not allow, I think, Americans to forget that monumental day from just 3 days ago on Friday.
No, and he came out to a bigger audience pop than Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, I mean, the place erupted. I could have muted the TV and heard the crowd eruption all the way here in Tennessee from Arizona. So, you know, HHS has been something that's been thrown around. Health and Human Services, that's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do have to be careful. He does disagree with us on a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Again, that's fine. That's healthy. We can have discussions. Yeah. This is what America is. But we don't want to, you know, and I don't think, I'm not suggesting that he would do something like this, but we don't want anybody who's going to undermine, you know, Agenda 47. That's what Donald Trump is running on. But I think if you put him in a position where he's in charge of health, right, or he's in charge of going after big pharma, I have no problem with make America healthy again. You know, 40%, could you imagine, of people aged 15 or higher in the United States are classified as obese.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
It is.
Okay. The standard American diet is a disaster. And, you know, and then you look at all the chronic health issues. I cannot believe it. You know, I understand science has evolved and we can pick up on more things. We've had this discussion about the NFL. Is the game becoming more violent? Why are there more concussions? Or are we just catching more of them? Right. I mean, there, and maybe it's a mix of both. Men are being strong. They're becoming bigger, stronger, field turf. They move quicker. I get all of this. But the chronic disease thing, and I think there may be two angles, right? Maybe they're coming up with diseases to give people so they can shove medicines down their throat and sell their products. That's always a factor we have to think. But what is causing this outbreak of the childhood issues, the autism, et cetera?
Yeah.
I don't know. But something I think is going on.
Well, if you look at the amount of vaccines that kids get today compared to 1986, it's 20-fold stronger as far as the amount of shots these little babies are getting. It's unbelievable.
You hear about heavy metals and stuff in there, too? Like, it's insane. But, you know, something's going on. Something's happening with the food. You're hearing about these new, like, it's called a peel, where it keeps like fruits and vegetables from rotting. What is it? And what does that do to your body? We need to know.
Dawn, jump in here, because I know the health and the grocery shopping and the food stuff is right up your alley.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know if he didn't really talk as much, I think, and that was wise, about the whole controversial vaccine issue, because he has, RFK Jr. has said himself, hey, we're all vaccinated. Our kids have the immunizations like polio. I think he's been critical of some of the RNA, those newer so-called shots that are not an immunization. But I think what his skill set, he's an environmental attorney. And when he looks at the food processing, so it's the high heat that makes our food have the crunch, the chips, that sort of thing, the fast food industry. And only we do this in America. Even if you notice, you can buy real Mexican Coke. Did you know, like in the bottle, mm-hmm. the old school bottle?
Oh, yeah.
So you can ask for Mexican Coke that has real sugar and not all the corn syrup. Just just for example, other countries in Europe, they don't even know what you're talking about because they have the original stuff that has like real sugar, not the high heat processing and not all the chemicals. And so all these chemicals, other countries around the world, especially Europe, they ban all of this stuff.
But don't you feel like we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place when it comes to these, these things that, I'm trying to think of the word. My God, I'm drawing a blank on the pesticides and the other stuff that keeps food, fresh for longer. Because I was thinking about this. Like, it's very expensive in certain spots at times, depending on what you shop for and buy, to eat healthy and to eat organic. Like, just you look at the bananas, right? Organic bananas more expensive than regular bananas, and they also go and they rot away quicker. So do you feel like especially in this economy with Bidenomics, that it's very difficult to eat clean and healthy? Because even in normal times, the clean living costs more, but now to even eat like a slob, like a 19-year-old in college, is 25% more than it used to be. So how do you pull this
off? I think it's our American culture, and other countries. Just for example, when we were, thank you, Conservative Tours and Ken Chase, but when we were in Italy, there were so many people at the different wineries and the farmers and just along the way who would say the reason that they don't even have to-go food. In other countries, like we have, we're this fast food society. We eat in the car. That's bad right off the bat. Take a moment for yourself. food is medicine, and ancient cultures have known that. For Americans, we have been, this culture has been created. That's what RFK Jr. was saying. I never knew that. He was saying that they were the tobacco company people who maybe in the 70s when people started realizing that cigarettes weren't as healthy, mm-hmm. and they went into the food industry. And so you think mm-hmm. of the advertisements about the crunch, about, hey, this is to go. But just think about this. I remember one woman, and she was at a winery. Okay, she has no skin in this game in Italy. She just said, hey, you know, you Americans, just think about this. When you buy something and it's in a plastic bottle and there's an expiration date, the product is not what expires. Think of bottled water, olive oil, whatever you're buying in America. She said it's the plastic bottle because that plastic starts to leach into whatever it is.
And then you drink it.
That's what she had said at the time. I was like, I never thought about that.
No,
the expiration is not of the good. So in other countries, for example, you think of your milk carton that comes in either like that kind of heavy-duty cardboard that's the wax, you know what I mean, or a glass.
Right.
That's what other countries do.
Yeah.
They don't have everything in plastic.
Yep.
And isn't it ironic that it's so annoying, and we've talked about this, that you go anywhere to the grocery store and they say, oh, you can't have a plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband always has to say this every time if we're together. He's like, okay, we don't have a plastic bag to put all the goods that are all in plastic.
Right.
You know what I
mean? Plastic for thee, but not for me.
So it's like, but they banned the plastic straw.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they gave you a plastic cup.
By the way, paper straws suck, by the way. Has anybody had paper straws? They're atrocious.
Might as well suck your drink through a tissue. I mean, it's disgusting.
I agree.
The organic thing, though, and this is rich. The FDA, you may know more about this, but like, doesn't the FDA have to, don't they set the standards for what could be considered organic? So doesn't it, I don't want to call it all a wash because I would argue that it's probably better for you, but you know, they say it can't contain certain pesticides, but they still contain, I mean, you got to keep the bugs off of it somehow, right? And, the last thing I'll say is I do the keto diet a lot. I think it's fun. It's not for everybody, but it's cool for me. It helps with my headaches and I feel great when I do it. But one of the most addicting substances in the world is sugar. You know, that process, not the stuff that's in fruits necessarily, but, you know, that stuff is more addictive. And it, honestly, it's more deadly and can cause even bigger problems than a lot of drugs. I'm not saying to go do drugs instead of eating sugar. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, so Hunter Biden did.
But it's, well, yeah. Oh, he snorted Parmesan cheese too. So I don't know. But it's one of those things where, you know, the carbs, I call it big bread. No, but it's true.
Yeah.
They tell you to eat all this bread and, you know, stay away from fats. But like fats are some of the healthiest things you can have if it's the right stuff. So, you know, it's just, look, moderation, be smart.
Yep.
But I like the idea Kennedy has of making America healthy. The dude's in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
You know, you could either have that, right? I said this. I put this up the other day. I said you could either have the man who is in shape or the man who is insane, Rachel Levine. Okay. What do you want? I want the guy who knows what gender he is, who could bench press a monster truck, not the cross-dressing weirdo. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Do you remember the stretch we had about a year ago when everybody was doing like their physical activities? Bobby Kennedy looked like he was doing push-ups and bench press at a prison gym out on the deck. Vivek was playing tennis. All these people were trying to show off their fitness because, you know, they were trying to show that Joe's old and out of shape and, you know, Trump's getting older. This was during the primary season. But I mean, you look at Trump. I mean, think about the athletic ability, and people are going to say, oh, Trump's not athletic. My keister, he's not. Have you ever seen Trump play golf? Have you ever seen Trump swing? I mean, it's not the prettiest
swing
thing,
is a mess,
but it's effective.
But
he's a hell of a golfer at 78 years old.
He's a great golfer, but that swing, and you look at the way he, like the torque on that man's body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, how is he good with that swing?
I will
but
say
he's great.
This.
He's a great golfer.
He's got more of a, he's got more torque and flexibility in his golf swing and the backswing than I do. And he's got me by 38 years and probably about 30 pounds. Yeah, so shows my flexibility and how limited it is. All right, speaking of Trump, let's continue with RFK Jr. This is clip number 9. As Kennedy announces that more Democrats are on the way to team up with Trump, and a series of announcements are soon to be released. Clip number 9, let's listen and watch this.
President Trump is going to make a series of announcements about other Democrats who are joining his campaign. And you know, I want to make America healthy again, and so does President Trump.
So let's I know we speculated a little bit on this maybe around 6:30, 6:40 this morning. So as soon as I saw that clip yesterday on social media, I started immediately having my brain race. I'm thinking, all right, well, who would be bigger than Bobby Kennedy? Politically, I can't come up with a name as far as a current Democrat in office, whether that's the House or the Senate. I mean, there's a few moderate Democrats out there, but nobody that's going to be announcing worthy. Yeah, you got like a Ro Khanna out in California. So I don't think it's anybody in office. Is it a former Democrat from office? Perhaps. The name Joe Rogan comes to mind. I mean, I think if you're going to announce this and say that there's more announcements coming, they have to be something that carry a little bit of punch. And beyond Rogan, I can't come up with one. I'm not sure if either of you have any thoughts racing through your head, Sean or Dawn, if you have any names that you want to possibly throw out. I mean, Tulsi, Elon, and RFK is about as big as you can do. Unless I'm missing somebody.
Manchin, he's not big, but he appeals to moderates.
That's true.
You know, somebody, I actually posted this on X a few hours ago. I said, you know, who do you think it would be? Somebody raised a very interesting, and it's not going to be this, but imagine if it was Bernie Sanders, you know?
No.
Because he was the spokesman.
Disaffected. But nah. He was a spoke. He spoke at the DNC too.
Yeah, but
we are not going back. You know,
yeah, right.
It's not going to be Bernie because he was Kamala in the basement, the proverbial basement, you know, the symbolic basement. So he was the guy who the Democrats put out over the weekend.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'll be a Bernie.
Okay.
And then
Rogan makes the most sense.
And then what I don't see Bill Maher, somebody like that.
No.
I don't see him.
No, because as much as he hates the far left, he hates Trump as well. I'm trying to think in the media podcast influencer category. You've got guys like Logan Paul. You've got Theo Vaughn, which we played you that interview, which, by the way, again, it's worth reiterating as she's sitting away hiding on vacation or doing whatever she's doing. Like, Trump sat down for 2 hours with Elon Musk, Theo Vaughn, uninterrupted, no commercials, just conversation. And she can't do 11 minutes with, you know, Poopinopoulos or Kristen Welker. I mean, it's really embarrassing. Trump is 78, 18 years older than her. And the criticism is, well, he rambles. Well, okay, but he still goes for 2 hours uninterrupted. Kamala Harris is word salading it 3 minutes into a 10-minute interview. She can't get to the finish line, Sean.
How about this name too? For terms of, you know, maybe someone mentioned maybe it'll be Democrats in the business world, you know, because of
the
corporate tax rate. What about like a Jeff Bezos? You know, I mean, maybe not someone that big, but. Jamie Dimon, Zuckerberg, you know, these guys probably won't do it. But, you know, these are the names that may carry some weight. I don't think Jeff Bezos is going to influence anyone to vote or how they're going to vote. I think Rogan is the big one. And I don't like Joe Rogan. I'm not a fan of him. I don't think he's funny. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. But I respect the hell out of the fact that he has a massive audience.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked hard to get to where he's at. He's got a wildly successful show. I just don't like, you know, just like I don't like Taylor Swift, but she's successful. I can't say she's not successful. She's extremely successful. I think
he's already got Dana White in his corner, so it won't be him.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Rogan is the one I think that people are thinking about. And he can sway hearts and minds.
Now, there have been a few hip-hop artists that have kind of flirted with
Snoop Dogg.
Trump endorsements. You got Snoop, 50 Cent. I'm trying to think. You said the business world. You know, nobody from, you know, the NFL or the NBA is going to do that because they don't want to alienate half of their base. I mean, you know, maybe somebody from professional wrestling, but you've already done the Hulk Hogan thing, so that's kind of run its course. You have Kid Rock. Tucker Carlson obviously is on your side to begin with, so I can't come up with one other than Rogan. But
Mike Francesa, I will back.
Yeah, I think he's already on Team Trump. If you're asking me, just a guess.
But you know, think about all the celebrities. Even last week, they claimed Beyonce was going to be there. Beyonce was never there.
Oh,
but even in the past, have celebrity endorsements really mattered?
And no, it just kind of energizes the base, right?
Like Hillary.
Well,
yeah, right. But
it didn't help her.
But I do think, you know, a Jamie Dimon character or somebody in the banking world, people in different industries, and then you think about the union vote and who influences the union vote, because that's obviously in play.
Yep.
So, and are there different people who are superstars within the environmental movement, within the clean food movement? You know, so will those kinds of influencers, maybe not a celebrity that you think of as a Beyonce or a Taylor Swift, but somebody who's that influencer who can influence a tiny sliver of that margin that we're talking about that wins an election.
Well, see, that's what scares me about the whole Taylor Swift thing. And I know the audience will start yelling because they don't want to hear about Taylor Swift. But I mean, if I recall correctly, and if I'm getting the numbers wrong, somebody feel free to tweet me and correct me, because God knows you love to correct me. Didn't Taylor Swift register 30,000 Democrats in one day through a social media post?
Yeah,
that's why I'm really hoping she stays out of it. I mean, I know she got involved in 2020. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm hoping she just lays low. And there's actually been a lot of people that have laid low this time around. I think in part because they know Biden and Harris are indefensible after the last 4 years, and they probably have buyer's remorse. But I hope she doesn't come out with any political statements, because that the following she has is so massive. And 30,000 votes, I mean, you sit there and say, oh, that's in a nation of 340 million. Yeah, but 30,000 votes could determine Pennsylvania.
She doesn't. The truth is, though, in the elections, wasn't there one in Tennessee, when she's gotten involved, her people, they might love to like, oh, I love Taylor and I'm going to like, and I'm going to tweet about it, or I'm going to like her Insta account, but they don't really come out for the vote.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
you know, good for her. If she's saying, hey, are you registered? It's one thing to register to vote, because they probably were going to anyway, but it's quite another thing to get people excited and motivated and activated.
That's true. And to actually follow
through. I don't see her playing that like motivator role right now. You know, I think Taylor's just focused on being Taylor, and something that, and it's weird because, you know, there was a poll, I think, when, you know, the rumors were circulating about, oh, is she going to perform at the Super Bowl? And there were all these, you know, this is one thing that really bothers me. A lot of people on our side of the aisle, they wake up. You know how I said the left wakes up and they're like, okay, how much can I hate Trump today? A lot of folks on our side wake up and they look over their shoulder and they're like, oh, okay, is Taylor Swift going to hurt like my candidate? Enough. We're giving her so much power. She's a singer and she's not even good, I don't think. And I know a lot of people do think she's good. I don't think she's good. I've heard a million of her songs and I'm like, this is really just not me. It's not me. It's not for me.
Yeah.
But I'm not into the whole like I'm afraid of Taylor Swift thing. Right. And I get it because she has a big following. I understand that. But there was a poll that went out that said, you know, 22% of people would vote for who she says, but like 19% of people would vote against what she says. So it's a split. It's a split. And I think she's going to, I hope, and this is what I hope, she's smart about it. Do your music thing, right? You've got a great thing going. You don't have to dip your toe in the water. I'm a huge fan of Kenny Chesney's. When saw him in Nashville a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He never makes political statements. He just goes, fill stadiums, we have a good time for a couple hours, and we go home. He didn't post a black square on Instagram during the BLM riots. I you know, if you want to dive into who he follows on social media, figure out where he leans, go for it. I don't know. I don't care. He doesn't say it. I don't want him to do it. I look at him, the painter who's painting my house, I hire them to paint. I buy a ticket to go see Kenny Chesney to have a good time listening to music. And I think a lot of musicians are going to start to realize like, hey, these politicians do nothing for me. They do nothing. They take my money. How are you going to be Taylor Swift and go and campaign for the party that wants to raise corporate tax rates from 21% to 28% and tax unrealized gains and all? What do they do for you? Nothing. The answer is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you go out there and help them? They're not going to help you. And that goes really for both sides, right? I would say these musicians, these artists are going to start to realize they have a niche in society, and they're very important in their niche. They don't need to get involved politically. Why alienate half your base? Michael Jordan says it. Republicans buy sneakers, too. I think a lot of these celebrities are going to start to realize it, unless they also want to be political activists. And that's on them. But Taylor Swift does not strike me as a political activist. And I, for one, am. And I've been saying this for a while. Like, you know, oh, she's going to show up at the DNC. She's going to show up at the Super Bowl. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. Why are we giving her all this power? She's a singer.
Yep.
You know, that's it.
I agree. Two more to get to, and then we'll wrap up the cut sheet for part one and get a Dawn Big Three on the other side. I do want to get to Donald Trump, and I also want to get to J.D. Vance. Let's go to clip 17, boys. This was Trump when asked if he would like to see Elon Musk a part of his cabinet. Clip 17, here's what 45 had to say.
I read that Elon Musk said that he would accept a position in your cabinet. Would that have to do with artificial intelligence?
So if Elon chose and I him? Have a great relationship. He's great. He is a totally unusual character. Do you know Elon?
I don't.
He's great. And he's smart. And we have to cherish our geniuses. You know, we don't have too many of them, right? But he is a brilliant guy. And what he really would like to do is get involved in cutting some of the fat. And he does know how to do it. And he loves the country. You know, it's just an amazing thing. We had a conversation the other day. You would know better than me, but I hear it had hundreds of millions of people. I heard it had the biggest audience that there's ever been. I mean, would you say that's a correct statement?
Oh, absolutely.
There's never been anything even close. I heard 750 million people. I mean, numbers that are crazy. And he wants to be involved. Now, look, he's running big businesses and all that, so he can't really, I don't think he'd be for cabinet. I put him in the cabinet, absolutely, but I don't know how he could do that with all the things he's got going. But he can sort of, as the expression goes, consult with the country and give you some very good ideas. Like on AI, there's nobody knows more about it than Elon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, you know, big thing. And he said it's very important. I mean, it's very important for the country. If we don't do it, China's going to do it, or somebody else, but most likely China. And China is working right now to develop massive electricity, a flood of electricity, a massive flood of electricity. And we don't, because we have people that don't even, they're not even thinking about that.
Yeah.
And you have to. We have to win this election. This election is going, November 5th will be the most important day, my opinion, in the history of our country, because if our country goes the wrong way with this election, I think this country is doomed.
You know, he makes a lot of really good points there, and I don't think Elon Musk's ever going to be a cabinet member. A, it doesn't pay well, and B, it takes up a lot of time. But having him in your corner, having him as an advocate, maybe having him do something at an event certainly makes sense. But lost in all of this, with Elon Musk for a little bit, especially when he bought X and restored free speech and then endorsed Trump. And of course, with everything that played out on Friday with RFK Jr. And I want to get both of your thoughts on this. I'm going to start with you, Dawn. Do you feel like J.D. Vance has become the forgotten man all of a sudden? Doesn't it just seem like that between Trump, RFK, and then even you throw in Elon Musk, that the vice president all of a sudden feels like third or fourth on the pecking order? I kind of feel bad for J.D. Vance because he's been really good so far, and we're going to hear from him in a moment, but he's become like an afterthought in the Trump administration a second time around. You get that feeling?
Well, I think that he's the Veep. You know, he's where he should be. But I think out on the campaign trail, he will be and is effective. And, you know, right now they're trying to hit him hard with the abortion issue because that's all they've got. They're saying he's a pro-life guy.
Yep.
And so the headlines continue around J.D. Vance and abortion. I don't think it's going to work because I think people are smart. They get it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that works necessarily. But I think he's in his right place. It takes the pressure off of him and lets him go across the country and campaign.
Sean, I feel like it's that meme that you see or that gif that you use on social media of John Travolta when he walks into the room and he's looking around and there's nobody there. I kind of feel like that's J.D. Vance right now. People have put him on the back burner here.
Yeah, you know, I'm with Dawn kind of. He's the VP. He's kind of supplemental. And he's never been like the hype guy, right? Like he's not going to go out there and be flashy, but he's very articulate and he's very direct. He's very to the point. He's very calculated. And I think this is actually a really good position for him to be in because he can work his magic. He can go ahead and give those really good interviews. He's not going to go out there and, you know, and get a pop like RFK. But it's also, you know, he's a Republican on a Republican ticket. Right. So, is he being forgotten? I don't know. Maybe it's a strategy to kind of get the whole weird thing out of the news cycle and kind of refresh him. Yeah. And, you know, not that he needs to be rebranded. I think he's great, but the media did a number on him. So they've kind of, you know, done what the left does a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. They kind of put somebody else in front of the cameras for a minute, let him operate under the shadows, kind of get his feel. And then, you know, maybe in a month or so or a couple of weeks, he's back out there. But he's been out. He's been out campaigning hard. You're not voting for the VP, right? You're voting for the man on the, you know, on at the top of the ticket. People aren't voting for Tim Walz. And if they are, my God,
no, we're doomed. Yeah, but, we're screwed.
Oh,
if that's
man.
The case.
Yeah, yeah. People are voting for that guy. I mean, that's you know what I think? Tim Walz is Howard Dean on cocaine. That's what he reminds me of. he's the inflatable. You know, he's the guy. There's a sale at the car dealership. That guy, yeah. You know. That's the inflatable waving tube man. Yep. Whatever they say on Family Guy. So I hear what you're saying about Vance.
He does look like the general sales manager of a used Ford lot, like in the middle of America, right? He is.
Yeah,
that
well,
guy.
He's the inflatable thing that wants people to come in. He's flailing all over, and he's like, whoa, look at me. I got Doritos. Like, it's crazy.
Embarrassing. Speaking of J.D. Vance, let's wrap with him. He was on the Sunday shows yesterday, I think notably with Kristen Welker of NBC. I'd like to think in a sane, rational, logical world, which we don't live in, by the way, anymore, that it's about the economy, stupid, right? Clip number 12, here's J.D. Vance and Kristen Welker on Donald Trump's economic platform.
Now, the estimates vary, but how do you respond to that charge that Trump's tariffs would hurt the middle class?
Yes, so if you step back a little bit, Kristen, there's this whole thing that Kamala Harris did at the convention where she made a bunch of claims about what would happen and not enough actually reflection on what already happened, right? Because Donald Trump was already president. He used tariffs to bring manufacturing jobs back to our country. And I think he'll do it again. And he did it while keeping prices extremely low. Because if you go back to the Trump presidency, we had 12,000 factories that were built during Donald Trump's presidency. Inflation never really ticked above 2%. His entire administration, in fact, was sort of, around 1.5% most of the time that he was president. So when Kamala Harris says, if we do the thing that Trump already did, it's going to be way worse than it was last time, I just don't think that makes a lot of sense.
So to me, it's very simple. Anytime, and I know they got a little contentious on some other topics with Vance and Welker, which, by the way, it's so annoying. If J.D. Vance really wanted to debate, let's trot out Tim Walz. We don't have to wait until October 1st. I love how we always have to debate with these left-wing interviewers. Like, you can't just ask the question and get out of the way. If you want to give me a follow-up, that's fine. But, like, I'm not here to debate another journalist on policy. To me, it's real simple. Nobody has decimated the middle class more than the Biden-Harris administration. So they can talk about all these tax cuts for billionaires. But you know what you hit them back with, Sean? Just this past week, 818,000 jobs that we were told in March and April of 2024 that existed, we find out in August they were phantom jobs. You just dunk on them with basic facts, and they'll have no rebuttal for you. This should not be a complicated, and I'm not criticizing J.D. Vance. I'm just saying it's as simple as ABC when they bring up the economy.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the policies, the economy, the cost of food, the cost of everything, literally everything, more expensive. Again, I watched the Reagan movie last night. Amazing. And one of the parallels that they draw is when Ronald Reagan, in one of his first debates, says, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? I'm sitting in the movie theater and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's the same campaign. But they didn't have, you know, election rigging and a biased mainstream media. If it was, it wasn't like this. Back when Reagan ran, you know, for his for president for the first time. But when you look at these jobs, right, the 818,000 jobs that they were walking around pounding their chest. Look at us. We brought all this done. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is what they do. They do this with a lot of these things. They will float a story out. They will act as if it's true. And then, you know, a certain amount of time goes by and then they slowly go, oh, yeah, well, you know, it did come from a lab. Oh, yeah, the kids didn't actually. But yeah, we got bigger fish to fry now. You know, we're still That's what they do. They do it all the time. Usually the first thing that the left tells you, that's usually the lie. And you wait about 3 or 4 weeks, let it distill, and then you find out the truth. It's very scary.
It is.
Very Orwellian. It's very scary.
Yes. All right. We'll come back, put a bow on the 8 o'clock hour, and then we will get to Dawn's Big Three right off the top at 9 o'clock. And also coming up in the 9 o'clock hour after the Big Three, masculinity, it is on the ballot this year. And by the way, have you ever looked at Doug Emhoff and said he's a modern day sex symbol? Now the Washington Post believes that he is. We'll get to that story as we continue. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Dawn will have a Big Three, and then we have to get to masculinity being on the ballot. Kind of an interesting battle that Democrats are trying to fight here. I don't understand what they're trying to achieve, and I don't think it's going to work. Also, the Washington Post, once proud newspaper that now decides to write op-eds about the vice president's husband being a sex symbol. We're going to get to that as we continue as well. So stick around. Big 9 o'clock hour is on the way. Big Three coming up next. But first, let me tell you about my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And we're talking specifically about Piazza Acura in Westchester. As a Acura owner myself from 2013 through 2023, I always enjoyed my little Acura ILX. It was great on gas. I got over 200,000 miles out of it in 10 years. But then I drove the Integra, the 2024 Acura Integra, and I was blown away by it. I couldn't afford it back in the day, but having test driven that thing, my God, what a vehicle. And the merit is justified. It's the road and track performance car of the year. And it comes with all sorts of quality features like wireless, Apple CarPlay, high performance, adaptive damper system technology, Wi-Fi hotspot capability, and a 16-speaker premium audio system. And Acura's that sweet spot, right? Maybe you can't do Mercedes or some of the high-end luxury vehicles like Jaguar or Range Rover or Land Rover, but you want something a little bit above a Honda or a Mazda, Acura is your home. Visit PiazzaAcura.com or test drive the new Integra today in Westchester, Ardmore, or Reading, and tell them Nick sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHD, and the free Odyssey app.
Dawn will have a Big Three, and then we have to get to masculinity being on the ballot. Kind of an interesting battle that Democrats are trying to fight here. I don't understand what they're trying to achieve, and I don't think it's going to work. Also, the Washington Post, once proud newspaper that now decides to write op-eds about the vice president's husband being a sex symbol. We're going to get to that as we continue as well. So stick around. Big 9 o'clock hour is on the way. Big Three coming up next. But first, let me tell you about my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And we're talking specifically about Piazza Acura in Westchester. As a Acura owner myself from 2013 through 2023, I always enjoyed my little Acura ILX. It was great on gas. I got over 200,000 miles out of it in 10 years. But then I drove the Integra, the 2024 Acura Integra, and I was blown away by it. I couldn't afford it back in the day, but having test driven that thing, my God, what a vehicle. And the merit is justified. It's the road and track performance car of the year. And it comes with all sorts of quality features like wireless, Apple CarPlay, high performance, adaptive damper system technology, Wi-Fi hotspot capability, and a 16-speaker premium audio system. And Acura's that sweet spot, right? Maybe you can't do Mercedes or some of the high-end luxury vehicles like Jaguar or Range Rover or Land Rover, but you want something a little bit above a Honda or a Mazda, Acura is your home. Visit PiazzaAcura.com or test drive the new Integra today in Westchester, Ardmore, or Reading, and tell them Nick sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHD, and the free Odyssey app.